This program is brought to you by Stitcher. Stitcher is the smart radio app designed for mobile devices such as the iPhone, the Android, and the BlackBerry. If you don't have Stitcher, go to Stitcher.com and use the promo code LiquidApp. And now, on with our show. It's time for a review, CEOs, and the stock market. Today, on Astrologically Speaking, we're going to be reviewing the past events of the last few weeks. Meg Whitman and her relationship with HP should be fun.
Life is about timing, and now it's time for Astrologically Speaking with Paul Ashland.
Hi, and welcome back to Astrologically Speaking. I'm your host, Paul Ashland. I don't know, maybe I've done too much for this show, but we'll see how it goes. I'm going to do a review. We're going to do where the stock market is today, and I'm going to be doing companies and their CEO's natal chart and what kind of relationship that has, because when a CEO actually is the skipper, the captain, in guiding a company, how much of an effect does that have on the overall company? So, I thought it was time for a review, and I'm going to take and look at the stock market and where the stock market actually has been and where it's been going. If you've been listening to this show on a regular basis, you noticed that, or you should have noticed, that I said on October 18th we had the possibility of a stock market crash, and I've been talking about this window. And this window has started July 27th, and it should end sometime in February, around February 14th or so. This volatile up and down movement that's been going on because Uranus is sitting pretty much on the United States natal chart Aries point, or midpoint, excuse me, midpoint. And this creates some kind of craziness is what happens with this. And so on July 27th, we had this major downturn that happened. And since then, we've been in this very volatile fluctuation. And I thought it was going to culminate on October 18th. But instead, what happened is the market started to rise, which didn't make any sense. But you got to remember, this is Uranus. Uranus is unexpected. And so in this particular case, what happened was the market took this little rise, not much, but a little rise. And it went from 10,653 up to, by the time October 28th came around, to 12,251. And since then, it's kind of gone up and down. And on November 11th, it was at 12,179. And today, on November 22nd, as I'm recording this, it closed at 11,493 points, some 753 points that have been lost in just the last few days, this little downturn. This is coming off of a triple top. So if you know anything about triple tops and double tops, they're always pretty significant. In fact, it looked like last week that we were getting a head and shoulders is what was happening, which is always bad. But then it broke back up again and created this almost symmetrical double top, and it's been dropping. And it looks like now that it's at this resistance point back to where it was on October 18th. So is this a resistance point or is it going to break through? We're going to have to look, because one of the reasons I think astrology is really good for the stock market is because the stock market it's about fundamentals and the values of companies, but it's all about perception and psychology and emotions, and that plays into it. It's what's happening with people at the time and how they actually are feeling. Right now, we have this resting point that's happening, this resistance, if you will, and the news isn't good out there, so will it break through and drop down further? Looking at the chart, it would almost appear so, but it could just pop back up, because it is time for it to take a little bit of a rally. That's about the cycle that happens with this. And if we look at D.W. Gann, he says things happen in four cycles, 3 to 4 cycles. And if you look at the point in which to the uptrend that happened until October 28th, and now we've gone up and down in this volatile manner, and we're in the stages of its first downturn. This could be its second downturn right here, which means that if he's on these big major breaks, what happens is the cycles happen for 3 to 4 downturns or cycles, and so it would suggest that the market is going to continue downward. So that's kind of a review of where we are. In light of that, one of the things that caught my eye yesterday was the report by HP, which was an interesting report because they lost money in almost every single area of their company: printers, ink, their new tablets, their new phones. Revenue was down, but they reported a profit of 12 cents per share. And when it's kind of like doing hoodoo voodoo magic. I used to work for a company, ESI, where they used to do that because it was so important on their quarterlies to keep their stock going. So one of the things they would do is they would come in and they would cut instructors, for example, because this was a school, a for-profit school. They would cut instructors, and the money they would save from getting rid of that workforce, they would make it look like they had more revenue than they actually had. In fact, they were either stagnant or not growing very much, but they made it look like, by doing this voodoo with their books, that actually there was more growth there than actually there was. They would then cut benefits. They would, every time that the quarters would come up, there would be some kind of drastic change that would happen, and usually it would be bad for the employees. And what they were literally doing was taking and just basically shifting money from one place to another. And I think that's what's going on with HP, but that got me thinking, because is it? Meg Whitman actually took over HP. She hasn't been there very long, but is she beyond this kind of behavior or not? When I take a look at Meg, I decided let's do her natal chart and see how this actually plays out to her relationship with HP. When you take a look at Meg's natal chart, she was born in 1956 on August 4th, and you can't find a time when she was born. A lot of times what happens is people will just then put it at 12 o'clock. As far as lining all these things up. Now, where this really matters is the fast-moving planets like her sun, Mercury, and the moon, because that determines what house they're in. I did find a gentleman on the internet who actually spent a good deal of time trying to do what they call reconciliation to this, and he came up with a time of birth that seems to be pretty close to her characteristics and what she's all about. And if you do that reconciliation can usually get pretty close to when the actual time is. But when you read this, it seems to make a lot of sense. And the planets themselves are in the places that they need to be. This just really affects the houses and the ascendant sign and her midheaven. Taking what he has actually done with this and running with it, it looks like it's a pretty interesting little read. And so she's a Leo. Leos are people who think that they are leaders, which they are. They think that they're almost de facto to the throne, meaning they should be in places of high authority, and they should have subjects below them who revere them, who are loyal. Loyalty is very big with Leos, and they should be like royalty. Their egos are really very big, and you'll see that usually in actors in particular, you will see a heavy influence of a Leo moon, a Leo rising, or a Leo sun sign. Very willful people. They like to put stuff out there. They can be very forceful, a lot like Aries people. They've got this thing where Aries people will go and do things on their own. Leo wants an audience. They want somebody to watch them. That's why actors tend to have, especially in the moon, they want to be on the spotlight. They want to be on the stage. They want to be seen. They want to get the slap on the back. They want everybody to give them accolades. And so if this chart, the way it's actually laid out, this puts Leo at her ascendant, which means that's how she wants the world to see her also, and it would make a lot of sense with the way she actually goes through life. She has Uranus sitting in Leo also. Now, this would be no matter what time she was born, this would be an automatic. And it's actually sitting in the 12th house, which gives her this unpredictability. It also gives her some things that don't quite come to the forefront. There's things that are hidden and they're kind of surprises. And this happens all the time in her life, and it happens with relationships in particular, where relationships are suddenly broken by some force. not always in her control. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. But they're usually always surprising, and they're usually always dramatic, which fits Leo, the kind of dramatic flair to that. She also has her Mercury and her Pluto in Leo, and they're all in the first house, according to this reading. Mercury and Pluto are identical. They're sitting right on 27 degrees Leo. What this gives her is this persuasion, but it also makes her want to bend people to her will and her train of thought. So it's really important if you work around her that, not that you don't have a good idea, but that you eventually come her way. This is very, very important. She also has, in the first house, Jupiter in Virgo. Now, this gives her optimism. This gives her her luck. This gives her her charisma, if you will. And that really helps this whole mix that's coming down and kind of being formed with this person who is really thirsts. This person really thirsts is power. That's what they want. And this is played out, and this optimistic part of it gives her a little softer tone to her, at least at first when you meet her. It's not until you start to get to know her that you start to see some of the other dark side that's actually lurking underneath the surface. So we go down and we have her Neptune, which is one of the things I wanted to look at, because Neptune is really all about vision, it's about dreams, but it's also about self-deception, it's about deception in general, it's about being cloudy and nebulous, and the fact that nobody can get her time of birth. I mean, you can get lots of natal chart information or birth information on lots of people out there, and the fact that she was so under the microscope when she was running for governor in California, and the fact that nobody's got her time of birth is pretty remarkable. And that fits into an actual Neptune. Now, Neptune also doesn't have problems bending the lines or the rules. Now, I'm going to go back to this report we just had from HP, which seems like what happened was they kind of massaged the numbers to make them come out as nice as they came out. How do you lose money in almost every single department? Revenue is down, and yet you gained a profit. As we move on, we got Saturn. Saturn sits in Scorpio, and it also sits in her fifth house, or excuse me, her fourth house, which is also by her node, which means that her connections with people are pretty significant if you make it inside her inner circle, and they tend to be very, very fortunate for her because her node is actually in Sagittarius, which is actually ruled by Jupiter, so that's a benefactor for her. The Saturn in Scorpio, which Scorpio is actually ruled by Pluto, and so we've this whole thing about bending the will, and the Saturn's all about authority. When she gets to a certain place, she can be very heavy-handed, and this is just something innate in her. When Leos, by their very nature, want to be in the spotlight, they want to be out in front, they want to be a leader, but this other little mix that she's got on there means that if you, for any reason, are perceived to be a problem or in the way or whatever, she has no issue whatsoever removing you or handling you in any way that's necessary. There's not a kind of remorse that's there or sensing feeling about somebody or anybody that gets in her way. She just kind of move on and kind of do whatever. Now, this is actually trined by her Mars, and her Mars is actually in Pisces, which is actually ruled by Neptune. Now, that sounds like a whole bunch of mumbo-jumbo, but the bottom line in all of this is that her Mars, her Neptune, and her Saturn, they all kind of work together, which means that she's very forceful when she wants to be. She doesn't have problems bending the lines or the rules at all when it's necessary, especially when it juxtaposed to other people's values and what they think. When you go back and take a look when she was running for governor, she listens to people, but she doesn't really listen to people. Her mind's pretty much made up, and she knows best. She doesn't really have to consult with people. She is a juggernaut when she gets ready, and she has a heavy-handedness about how she goes about things. Certainly how she went about the campaign when she spent $144 million more than anybody else to try to get a political office of her own money shows how forceful and heavy-handed she can be and not really in tune with what's going on around her, because this is her perception, and no matter how people inside the circles actually were trying to massage this in a different direction, if they got too off the Meg script, they probably were gone. She just probably got rid of them, is what she did. Now, she has a really fascinating Venus on an Aries point. I've never talked about an Aries point. Aries point significant spot in the chart. And she has her Venus on Aries point in Cancer at zero. It's 0 degrees of a particular, what they call a cardinal sign, which is Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And so hers is actually on Cancer, and it's Venus, which means she's got this charisma that's about her. It's really fascinating that this actually trines her Neptune, which is all about self-deception, which means that a lot of times she comes off looking better to herself than she really is being perceived by other people. But she always has this charm she actually relies on, and she uses it a lot. Sometimes it works, but sometimes people pierce that veil and they can see behind that the wizard's there, if you will. But it's a very powerful place in her chart, so Venus plays very heavy. Now, her Neptune actually sits across from her midheaven. The way she goes about things, there's a lot of self-deception that's actually there. But she has a lot of dreams, too. She has dreams and visions. Problem seems to be her visions are better than everybody else's. And sometimes that's true, and sometimes it's not. So that's her natal chart. She's got this heavy-handed way. She wants to be the star. She wants to be in front of people. And the fact that we've got Uranus sitting in the 12th house, sitting in Leo, would probably explain why she really never stayed anywhere very long. When you're starting to look at a CEO of a company or somebody that is a board member, pretty much the longest she stayed any one place has been about 10 years, which in the business world, it really isn't that long. When you think about it, she pretty much rose to prominence pretty quickly, probably from her family connections, got on a lot of committees. She was in Disney in the 1980s. She was then on boards, DreamWorks, Procter & Gamble, Hasbro in the 90s, and then she took over eBay in 1998. So what I thought it would be fun to do is now take a look at her, now that I've got the setup here, take a look at her and these different moments when these events actually happened and how they actually affected what she was doing in life. So the first one up is going to be when she started with eBay. And so this was in 1998. So this company, she took from $4 million to $8 billion. She didn't like the way the interface was, how the company was actually conducting business or doing business. So at the time she started with the company, the transits were actually happening, were in this little compacted space. And it's really interesting because as I was doing her charts, I noticed that a lot of times the transits would be very compacted, meaning where the planets are now. They seem to be all in one spot. And in particular, they seem to be in Pisces at this point. Her Mars, Mercury, the Sun, and Jupiter were all sitting in Pisces. And so this would suggest that this is all really good, and this would look very fortuitous for eBay. This actually looks really, really good. She's got her moon sitting up high in Taurus at the time she took over, which is very good. She tried to create a family atmosphere, looking very grounded, and she was there. Pluto sitting down in the fourth house in Sagittarius, which means good fortune and good luck, and it was going to affect her in a very, very good way. In her workhouse, she had Uranus, Neptune, her Venus, and Venus was actually sitting in Saturn, which is work. So this is all about work. This is all about vision, insight, unpredictability, and actually her dreams kind of coming true in her workspace. And so this all looked really good. In her natal portion of her house, she actually had all of her planets almost back doing what they call return. They all were real close to where they were when she was born. So this looks like it's almost faded for her. That's how she started. Now, she was there for 10 years, roughly, because the official line is from 1998 to 2008, she was actually at eBay. But that's not exactly true. She was still on the board. But in 2007, in November of 2007, she actually resigned. Now, when she was running for governor in California, this really didn't come out. What actually happened in June of 2009, she met with a reporter, Young Ming Kim, and there was a shoving incident that happened. And she ended up settling this for $200,000. And my guess is that forced the resignation. But nobody really ever talked about this. Again, this is, she's clouded in mystery, and there's a little bit of nebulousness that's going on with all of her stuff. At this particular moment in time, when this was actually going down in the transit charts, Saturn, which is actually up in the 10th house, is all about reputation, and Saturn's about authority, was actually in Leo. And all of her natal planets, this little gang that she's got, were all sitting up in her reputation. And Venus was actually sitting in Leo also. With this going on, what happened was authority, whoever that was, eventual authority, kind of had this effect on her reputation. She was at a point in her life where she really thought she could do no wrong. This was part of her hubris that actually caused her fall. And she had her Mars sitting in the 6th house, and she had the Sun sitting in the 8th house. And so she had this willfulness, she had this drive, she had, I can do no wrong, I'm the queen, and you're going to bend to my will, and to the point where she shoved. Think about this now. This is a woman that runs a major corporation, and she's shoving and a reporter. Oh my God. So anyway, this didn't go really well, and then when we move on to where she was actually dismissed in November of 2007, there was a lot of things that were crossing over. Mars was actually going across the ascendant, and it was in Pisces. And here we go again back to this Neptune thing, because Neptune rules Pisces. And that was going across, so she was being dealt with forcefully and with her past discretions, if you will. Pluto was sitting up top right at her midheaven, which means that there's a intensity that's going on, a new in, out with the old, in with the new kind of thing. You're being transformed, everything's radically getting shifted, and it's sitting directly across from her natal Venus. And I told you this would come up, and it comes up again and again in a lot of things that she does. In her fourth house, which is the root of her, the base of her, she actually had her natal moon against Mars, which makes for a very volatile emotional situation. And you just see all of this stuff kind of played out together where it basically ushered in her demise, the end of eBay. Now, what's interesting about all this is she pretty much spun this pretty well. So, and there's that part of her that's that nebulous cloud that's not willing to do just about anything to keep things rolling. She really did kind of spin this, if you will, the old spin doctor routine. So now she moves on to be governor. When she first starts to run for governor, I can see how she would want to run for governor. Here's another one of those cases where every single transit planet is sitting in a compacted space. So Venus, Uranus, Neptune, we have even her Chiron, the Sun, the Node, we have Jupiter, Mars, Mercury, and we have Pluto. The only thing that is not in this gang that's compacted really close together is the moon and Saturn. That's it. Everything else is all in one spot. And they spread from her sixth house, her work house, her partnership house, her eighth house, just barely spitting into the ninth house, which is education. Most of these things are sitting in Aquarians. So she is going to take in charge, and she's going to be the queen of California. You can see why she definitely wanted to do this. In particular, what's sitting in her sixth house, because she's basically applying for a job, is what she's doing. And to get this job, it's all sitting in Capricorn. So her Mars, her Mercury, and her Pluto are all sitting in Capricorn, which kind of gave her this aggressiveness, kind of her message, her movement, and everything about her. She was going to transform herself, and through this, that's how her message came out, and that's how she decided to go about in this almost blitzkrieg fashion in the political campaign. I don't know, understand why she thought that this would actually work on everybody, but this is what she thought, and these are why the planets were there, and I can see why she actually thought that. One of the things that's really interesting is the moon. Her natal moon is sitting in the 12th house, which means somebody from the family is going to be a problem during this campaign. And in particular, what happened on this particular case is we get the nanny gate. It was somebody who was considered family or is in the family that was going to be a problem, going to be an Achilles heel for her. In September of 2010, this all broke open. And when it broke open, everything sitting up on her 10th house, Saturn, her moon, her Mercury, her Venus again. Here we go with the Venus. Her natal Neptune was actually sitting high, meaning this whole thing with her past discretions were coming home to roost, if you will. She was going to have to pay for them. The fact that Pluto and her node were actually sitting in the 12th house, this is hidden things, things that are disguised, hidden, things that you can't see. You could put it this way. These are hidden enemies coming out, and they were going to be transformational. As we move on, and she's actually resigned or conceded the governorship November 2nd, 2010. When you start looking at the aspects of all of this stuff right here, you can just tell it really wasn't going to go very well. In particular, her transit Neptune was sitting in the 7th house, which is partnerships, business contracts, that kind of thing. And it was actually sitting with Chiron, which is almost a self-inflicted wound, if you will. And it just wasn't going to happen. So now let's move on to when she took over for HP. HP was January of 2011. Now we're back to where this chart almost looks like when she ran for governor. And everything's sitting pretty much scattered in between. In fact, it's even a closer relationship than then, because Venus is even closer. But it scatters pretty much between the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th house. Now she's got optimism, and she's got her Uranus sitting up in the 10th house, and they're still in Pisces, which means there's going to be an aura of deception around this. And Mars is actually sitting, her natal Mars is actually sitting in conjunction with these two planets, which means she thinks she's going to be able to just force and will these issues that are going to pop up by herself. That's what she's thinking. And my guess is because her natal Venus is actually sitting on her rising sign at the time she took over, that this way, this little cutesy thing that she has going on where she uses her PR, she uses her charisma to actually get over on things, is not going to go very well in the long run. In the short run, she might have some successes, but my guess is it's not going to work out as well as she has hoped, and I don't know that this is going to be a long-lived relationship with HP. It's going to be rocky, is what's going to happen. She's going to have her good moments, and she's going to have her bad moments. Now, she's just taken over. She hasn't even been there a year yet. It's getting close to being there a year, and she hasn't really had much effect. And in the competition that's in the market right now with Apple, and in particular the smartphone market, the push on computers has seen their day anyway. I mean, the PC is kind of not completely dead, but it's certainly taking a back seat, and there needs to be a shift that needs to happen. With that said, she's going to have to be open to ideas. If she can transform herself into not being so overbearing or heavy-handed about how she goes about her business, she can transform this company. But my guess is her ego thinks she can will herself to do it without much help. Or let's put it this way, she doesn't even realize when she's basically dissing people when they have input. This is a very strong-willed person and really thinks that they know the answers about everything. And from what it looks like in this chart, these are a lot of lessons that are going to happen. In particular, they're going to affect the company's finances and the day-to-day operations. And she's going to try to transform them, but this is a company that doesn't easily take transformation that doesn't make sense. Carly Farini, who actually took over, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, who took over, and she tried to change the Invent. She was the one that came up with that, Invent, HP Invent. And then they started selling iPods, which just really didn't play well. I knew some people at HP. This really didn't play well. You might as well just quit right then. And it took another couple of years before she finally disastrously stepped down from HP, and I don't know that this run's going to go any much better than the one that Carly actually oversaw. So if you're looking at HP stock and you're looking to invest in this stock, one of the things you need to pay attention to is this heavy-handedness. You almost can't even pay attention to what the PR is going to be. You usually can anyway, but for this particular person, there's going to be this lockdown, almost secretive, heavy-handed kind of internal effect that's going to happen on the company. And instead of transforming the way they do things, I think there's going to be probably rebellion against her, and it's not going to go well. She's not going to be able to push this, and she thinks she can. She thinks she can will this, and she, like I said, she really wants subjects, she wants an audience, and she wants to be the star. Now, she's taken this job because she thinks she can turn it around and be that star. She's looking for another notch, but this is not going to go well, I don't think. It's got a lot of the errors of the same thing that she was doing when she ran for governor, and she didn't handle that well, and it doesn't seem like she listens to her advisors very well. Otherwise, she would have toned back her approach and softened it quite a bit, and that's what needs to happen here. If she can do that, then HP could be righted. But in this heavy market where everybody's starting to go after tablets and smartphones, that's where the company needs to go. Can she take them there? I don't think so. But let's stay tuned and see how this works. By the way, HP was down today because 12 cents a share and your revenues dropped. That doesn't look very good. The market can actually see through all these things. They read this stuff. It's the outside world that has a little bit of issue with it. So that's my report for today, and thank you for listening to Astrologically Speaking.